All right. That's right. NFL Australia, not quite the usual chaos start to a show. I'm your co-host, James Clements. This is NFL Australia. I'm a guy here in Chateau de l'Amour Armour Studios down in Lawn, hanging out. On the other side of this here iPad, it is a bloke. I don't know. Now what, 13 and 3? He's getting tattoo removalists on speed dial at the moment. Speed dial, that doesn't exist anymore. What am I talking about?
No.
Jeez. Anyway, it is sometime singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. He's your mate. It's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy. Yeah, it is a very different tone to the start of this show.
It is. Late one this week, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, what I've been doing probably doesn't fucking matter. We should probably just launch straight back into it.
Yep. Week 17 was a week not really even technically sort of finished, as it were. We are recording this now on a Thursday afternoon. We usually do this very late Tuesday evening. But of course, with the Damar Hamlin news on Monday Night Football and Tuesday, we sort of went, right, we're not going to do Tuesday night. We went through sort of all the news and everything yesterday on Wednesday, went, okay, now that it's at least hitting a point where we've got at least some vague, I guess, knowledge of what's going on, let's quickly do a show today, wrap up week 17, set up week 18, and basically just try to knock out a show where we try to make sense of what's going on. So I think that'll be kind of it. We're not even on the tins really today, Gaz. This is...
No. And there's actually in some of my notes actually reference to at the time of recording, because there's some of the things that we're going to talk about are seem to be changing at a rate of knots and directions the NFL is going to take and the teams to be fair. So look, we're going to give obviously, you know, you and I just discussed this, but the results of last week's games, you know, because we're recording so late, have become, I guess, less relevant. but it's more about where we're at now and what that means for week 18.
Yep. All right. So let's get into it. Episode 67 of NFL Australia. Let's go. Should we make them go out and play again? Should we? Roger, I don't think we should. Okay then. This is Roger Goodell and you're listening to NFL Australia. All right, Gaz, there you go. This is basically the one thing that you always suspected could happen. You didn't want it to happen. We've had life-threatening injuries on an NFL field before. Nothing quite like this. Unprecedented is the word. Unprecedented, not also really quite accurate, because there have actually been, weirdly enough, moments of like, you know, cardiac arrest and whatnot on the field. But obviously, Damar Hamlin was the big story this week. 24-year-old Bills, what, safety?
Safety.
And what? The official release that came out after it suffered a cardiac arrest following a hit in our game versus the Bengals. His heartbeat was restored. Just one of those moments going, oh, yeah, so, well, he died. If your heart has stopped, not fucking great, Gaz.
No.
And he was transferred to UC Medical Center for further testing and treatment. He's currently sedated, lucid, in critical condition. The updates to that have been essentially that the breathing that has been supplied for him by the breathing machines, etc., has at least sort of worked. There's like moments where I think they're like basically it's a slight improvement in his condition.
He's gone from, the update from yesterday was they'd gone from 100% oxygen delivery to 50% oxygen delivery. They've also rolled him kind of onto his side to remove some of the blood pressure around his lungs to enable him to... The next goal, he's remaining sedated and in a coma, basically, but trying to get him breathing by himself, which is not quite there yet.
Yeah, so that's not great, obviously.
No.
And I mean, we take a lot of the piss here on NFL Australia, but we love this game. We love the people who play it. We love the 100%. Fans. We love the teams. We love the concept of it. When something like this happens, it does fucking shake you to the core.
And sobering.
It puts it all into perspective. Obviously, it's just a fucking game. Simple as that. No one should die playing a game. And you have all those sort of thoughts as you're watching it, and it was weird to sort of watch it all unfold and then watching ESPN have that exact sort of same moment of like, oh, fuck, what do we do?
Yeah.
And no one really having much of a clue. So
Also, I think there were some of the tweets that were, you know, sport is important until it's not.
Until it's really not.
And, until it's really not, yeah. Right? And that was the thing. I mean, we were messaging each other at that time because when it occurred, and it's ridiculously scary from, well, when you're watching, I can only imagine what it has been like on field. And we'll touch on Zach Taylor's, he had a press conference today, which was quite enlightening. But the fact that he makes the hit, gets up fine, and then just collapses, and you're like, oh, that's not right. That wasn't a concussion. That wasn't a little bit of a wobbly. But you know, I've had the conversation with some of my mates at the time about why, like, has calling a game off when that whole discussion was going on, has that happened before? And I said, well, it's the optics of this are completely different, right? Because when you get someone with a spinal injury or a concussion, even though you don't know the extent of it, the behavior is the same, right? They're always going to immobilize them. They're always going to put them on a cart. You don't know. This was completely fucking different, right?
CPR on the field is like, yeah, horrifying.
And the players shaken to a core. Like, you know, there's always the prayer circle and whatever. But when they cross to Stefon Diggs and to Josh Allen, and they're openly weeping, you're like, whoa, this is next level shit, right?
Yeah, like Tre'Davious White, like, just in fucking tears,
bawling.
Just
yeah, brutal. Yeah, scary stuff.
But that's kind of it, right? Like, as soon as it happens, you have that moment of like, this is the one thing that I've never quite sort of seen. Holy shit! And the, you know, as soon as they're doing CPR, and as soon as they're kind of half reporting that, and the ambulance and all that sort of stuff right out of the field, it is like one of those things where you go, at least the medical staff were on it super fucking quick. 100%. And that sort of seems to be one
from
of the...
Both teams,
yeah. Right? So this is one of those moments where you go, oh, man, like, small saving graces, like, having that many medical staff in place for something, you know, as brutal as a game of football actually worked in the favor here, because, like, otherwise, just fucking not a great outcome. But,
yeah.
This is, I mean, it's the reason his life, you know, has been saved for now, right? And it's like
100%.
To actually have that quick response. So
there was obviously, you know, the internet being the internet. There's obviously the conspiracy theories that float, you know, from the word go. And we don't have too much detail at the moment, congenital heart condition or anything that could have led up to that. But there was a couple of interesting ones that jumped out straight away, and I can't remember the name of the condition, but it's something that happens more often in baseball, with a perfectly timed hit to the chest, at the same electric cycle through your cardiovascular system that can stop your heart.
Yeah,
if it hits at the right time, right? So, you know, the emergency resuscitation in a timely manner is key there. So, fingers crossed that all of that happened in time. And when he does wake up, it's all a long process, but back to normal.
Yeah, I mean, like, hashtag CricketStraya, but like, my mind instantly went to like Phil Hughes.
Oh, huge. That was the first. And Aussies were jumping left, right, and center to that, right?
And you just have that moment of like, God, man, like, this is the last thing you ever want to see again. Just anyone dying playing fucking sport. But look, I think the sort of washout of this is the way that the media has almost treated this, apart from a few fucking pretty notable exceptions, has been...
Which I'm sure we'll touch on later, yeah.
It's actually been surprising, right? I think, like... So
it was really good, yeah.
So I think with something this big, what happens is you have anger, you have grief, and it's sort of, obviously, in this world, in this day and age, you see, everyone just jumps on Twitter and starts yelling at everybody. And that's kind of been, like, I think the wash from that has been pretty good. Like, I think it happened very quickly. And I think people went, yo, like, seriously, the dude fucking basically died on the field. Mm. There's not a giant amount more to this. T. Higgins didn't do anything. It's just a run-of-the-mill fucking football play, which is one of the scariest aspects of it, right? Where it's like, how many times does a tackle like that happen? And it sucks. But the sort of wash out of, like, the grief and the anger online, it has that you know, very predictable cycle of like, all right, who do we find? Who can we blame? What can we blame?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I kind of think like at least at this point we've gotten to a place where anyone with a fucking like half a brain is kind of like, that's not important. What's important is like that Damar Hamlin's okay, that his family's okay, that his teammates are okay, that his friends, family, everybody supported, and the young man actually comes through it alive, right? And that's kind of been the biggest thing that sort of stood out to me is that everyone is really focused on that more than literally anything else. Again, apart from a couple of notable exceptions. So,
I mean, there's some really good. I mean, the coverage back to obviously the studio. There's the commentators who, when they kept cutting to advertisements, were like, "Well, there's really nothing more for us to say here. It's shocking scenes." And then obviously the studio wasn't prepared, and yet they've thrown these guys in front of the camera, and they did an amazing job of just. Like they were choking back, you know, emotion at the time.
Well, right. So there's a couple of points to this, right? Like, so you had the studio show back in New York. You had the Joe Buck, Troy Aikman booth in Cincinnati. And then you had the post-game show with Scott Van Pelt in Washington with Ryan Clark, which was amazing. So
he's definitely worth watching. Go back and watch the clip of Ryan Clark, who's speaking, you know, some of the guys speaking from personal experience rather than just Jimmy and I do, right?
Ryan Clark played the exact same position for a million fucking years as Damar. So,
yeah.
It's crazy. I don't think this is also one of those things where you find out how much work goes on behind the scenes by NFL players for their communities and everything, and just how many of these dudes are like just complete fucking legends and absolute stand-up people, and all the stories sort of pour out after the fact, and you're like, it's kind of one of those also little moments where you're like, fuck man, I hope just the Damar Hamlin gets to a point where A, he survives, and B, like gets to a point in his life that he can see that sort of outpouring of like gratitude and love. Like that's it'd be pretty amazing. So fingers fucking crossed. It's like the one time that thoughts and prayers is actually, you know, it's not really useful, but at least it's, I don't know, somewhat applicable. Right. Anything else we want to hit on there before we talk about some more of that later?
No, I'm sure we'll touch on some of that stuff later. Let's get on to some of the remainder of that week.
The rest of it, the games that happened. So it was weird again, I think, and this sort of throws a lot of the rest of the what we'll end up covering now of like, what happens next into like weird fucky territory, right? Because it's the last game of the week. You've only got one more week of the season left. So it just, the time crunch, everything goes a bit fucky and a bit weird. You got teams sort of hanging out to dry to a degree. And
they weren't teams without playoff implications themselves, right? Let alone who they're playing against.
Exactly. Like this wasn't, like Arizona, Atlanta, like this is two of the teams like at the very top of the AFC. Before we dig into that, like the NFL, so I mentioned that in the little intro, the NFL coming out going, nah, we never said that they'd have the 5-minute warm-up and then they'd have to get back out there. It's like, really fucking seems like you did. Really? Like ESPN backed themselves to the hilt with that shit as well.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of a surprise because you could have just gone, yes, sir, can I please have another to the NFL? But for ESPN to go, well, this is what we were being told. And the NFL go, well, we never said it like that. It's like, it sounds like you got a lot of lawyers looking over what was said and what wasn't.
And it's tough, right? Because Troy Vincent's come out and who represents the NFLPA and literally said, I was on the conference call in the NFL. That was never discussed. And considering he's representing the players, I really hope, like, I don't know. I almost hope that ESPN was wrong there.
Sure.
Because I don't give a fuck about that. The NFL, we just assume that they're that big conglomerate. But I just kind of want to hope that the NFLPA has the best interest at heart. But as I mentioned about Zach Taylor, one of the things that he said in his press conference today is we weren't going to do sideline-to-sideline phone calls with the Bills. He goes, I walked straight up to Sean, and Sean said, I need to be in that ambulance or following that ambulance straight to the hospital because I need to be with Damar. And he goes, well, once that was said, there was no question in our mind that we were just going to wait on the official decision, but it wasn't going to be going back out there.
Yeah. Because that's the other sort of aspect of this as well, right? Like all the teammates, all the players. And this sort of leads into what you could vaguely, feasibly imagine for like if they end up having to play next week, whether or not be, you know, this game or just their already scheduled other games.
Yeah.
Just fucking going back out there on the football field after that happens. Like the mental health aspect of all this is just beyond fucked for all of them involved. And like it's the one thing that we as just shit kicker dumb fucks over here just yelling about this week in, week out, but not actually playing fucking NFL football. Like that's the part that we just don't quite fathom. It's like, yeah, just imagine, Gaz, like you're just doing something. Someone dies while doing it. And it's like, oh, no. Well, and then Jimmy tells you to go out and go do it again. It's like, yeah, probably not ideal.
And we have a crack at, you know, we said pre-recording that it's a lighthearted crack, but we have a crack at these guys and an expectation that they're going to be physically and mentally at their absolute peak for 18 weeks plus playoffs, you know, and now we're expecting these guys to go out and, you know, the article's coming out of like their partners going, I don't want you to play next week.
Fuck
right? And Joe Burrow, I was lit just before we jumped on air. I was reading an article, today's interview with Joe Burrow, where he said one-on-one conversations, but not as a team. The Bengals have had discussions about whether they would play next week. Right. So, you know, and whether the Bills can even field a team, we'll talk about the implications with the Pats later. But, you know, this just so much. But the mental health aspect of these guys has to come is paramount, right?
Yep.
It just is what it is.
And I think it's one thing that we've always looked at pretty honestly on NFL Australia. We've never sort of, I don't think we criticize people for being, I don't know, piss weak or any of that sort of dumb shit. I think we understand where a lot of the players come from. I think we take the players' side in basically every sort of aspect of...
you wanted Mac Jones to make that fucking tackle against Chandler Jones, but... Well, you know,
100% I did, story. Mac fucking Jones.
That's a bit different story.
I will rag Mac Jones to the ends of the fucking earth after that.
Yep.
Jesus. Hashtag not my quarterback. Anyway. Speaking of which, the rest of the sort of week and the implications that came out of the other games are the Bucs, Tom Brady. Fucking Thanos over there. Inevitable, Gaz. Inevitable. Clinched the NFC South despite their best.
Not before 15 fucking tantrums on the sideline and another lost fucking Surface tablet. Jesus.
I was spewing, having had, I think I mentioned this on last week's show, one of my futures was actually New Orleans to win the division. They were still in with a fucking chance. Chaos. Yep. Anyway, the Giants, they clinched a playoff spot for the first time since the boat photo back in 2016. When I was living in New York, obviously, that was a big story, which is still very funny. It's like, oh, dude, what are they doing on that boat? Hey, do you see those guys in that boat? What the fuck are they doing on that boat, Jimmy? It's like, it's a boat. I think they're chilling out. It's like, you shouldn't be on a boat. It's like, what is the boat's not the point. Come on, man. Give it up. Fuck. Anyway, but first time since 2016, and only the second time since they beat the Pats, I think, in the... Something happened over 10 years ago.
But I was wrong in that, and they actually looked good doing it this week. Brian Daboll, he's just put his name, though they fell off a cliff, you know, somewhere in the middle stint of the season, but it was nowhere near as bad as I looked, hoped, thought it was going to be. Yep. And they recovered those last couple of weeks, so yeah, they deserve to be in there.
Other New York team? The other ones?
Not so much.
The other ones, they got eliminated.
Remember when both New York teams were above 500? Yep.
That was the time. Jets were 6-3 and somehow did not make the playoffs. They and the Dolphins, actually. So looking at the AFC East standings, it is crazy. It has been a wild fucking year, obviously. But now they and Miami have both lost 5 straight. And it's just they're keeping my beloved team in it. So, Washington were eliminated because Carson Wentz really went out in there and Carson Wentzed it up. This was also pretty funny because they were eliminated, much to the surprise of one Washington head coach, Ron Rivera.
That's fucking weird.
We can be eliminated? I thought he was... So, it was weird to sort of see him get dragged for this, Gaz. I thought he was like half taking the piss.
Yeah.
And I feel like Americans aren't great with sarcasm.
No.
A lot of the time. Sarcasm, irony, taking the piss a little bit. Eh, they leave a little bit to be desired. I think he was being a little bit sly, a little bit funny, and it just went over the heads of the reporters and then literally everybody else who's reporting on it. But at the same time, there was that sort of quizzical moment of like, we can be eliminated. It's like, did someone just not tell Ron? And he kind of knew that, but he didn't know that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was. I think the Packers caught him by surprise because he admitted later that it was a gaffe, not knowing that he could be eliminated. And it, you have to wonder how and if that would have changed any decisions. Because as we said earlier, like that Heineken's not the fucking greatest quarterback in the world and doesn't have an arm like Wentz, but also doesn't make the shitty decisions like Wentz.
Yep.
But the team plays harder for Heineken.
It's because everyone fucking hates Carson Wentz.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, Jags and Titans, as we mentioned last week, they're still playing off for the playoffs this week. This week didn't matter for them, so there you go.
Even though the Jags did exactly the opposite of what I said Dougie P would do, I thought of like would rest and play the safe route, and no, he went out and kicked the fucking shit out of them.
He did, and it was great to see because I think I had money on them in the end. The Pats still are able to make the playoffs, but at this point, I'm just like, just
don't.
I hate this.
Just don't.
This season
just let it be over.
It's like it's basically like my fantasy team. It's like start off with great hopes, have a moment, be like maybe we're okay, and then it just goes, we're in the shitter. Fuck it. The league has flexed Green Bay and Detroit into the final Sunday night football game. Fucking the Seahawks in the process. I'll talk about that again later.
It's a good way for us non-fans, us like neutral fans. It's a fucking great game to watch.
It is.
Something that matters at the end, right?
Actually matters because essentially the winner, like unless Seattle win earlier in that day, Detroit can't make it in at that point.
Yeah.
But Green Bay, if they win, they're in. So
yeah.
And if they do win, Jimmy is walking away $600 richer, I think, as well from one of my futures. So.
Yeah.
I'll be joining you on the bandwagon fans of Green Bay Packers this week, yes. I'll have to borrow one of your Aaron Rodgers jerseys.
Gross.
But this is the thing. So you kind of get to this pointy end of, all right, so what does it all mean for the playoff spot with NFC, AFC, clinching, all this sort of shit? And like the wild cards are still up in the air. But at the top, especially obviously the AFC with the Bills, Bengals, KC, it was still all to be decided. And now we just don't really know until the NFL makes a decision.
And even throw the Ravens in there for winning that division, right?
Yep.
Because it could have come down if the Bengals lost, well, then it all kind of would have come down to this week. Whereas now is literally the decision that the NFL makes affects whether the fucking Bengals-Ravens game matters, right?
Because the Ravens are in the playoffs, but had the Bengals have lost, this would have been for the division and higher seeding, obviously. So, yeah, it gets all very fucky very quickly. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, look, this is one of my, at the time of recording points. And they've gone around from everything from a random number generator, you heard those theories, to it's all sorts of wank. They're giving both teams a draw. Well, that extra half win would just end the division chase for the Ravens. But at the time of recording, the prevailing theory was Bills-Bengals will be considered a no contest, as in the game didn't occur, and tiebreakers will be based, well, as in the standings will be based on week 18 plus tiebreakers will be winning percentage from the rankings will be winning percentage overall. So, I don't know, is that, I mean, there's always going to be, I mean, they've got to fucking find some way to do it, and the other theory was playing the delaying all the games a week and just playing Bills Bengals this week and compressing everything and not having a Pro Bowl. But once again, we don't know whether the Bills, any of those teams are going to be able to field a team, let alone want to. I mean, look, everything as that's that at the time of recording, everything's still in the fucking air, right?
So it doesn't really step on my unpopular opinion of the day for later on in the show, but I think we just call it and move on. I think you just go, nah. Let's all move on. No contest. Fuck it.
Yep.
We'll pretend like the game, just there's no result. Simple as that. All good. We'll catch you next week. And if the Bills, the Bengals players need sort of more extra time, maybe we'll look at like flexing some of those games out a little bit more. We'll have a chat with the PA, but yeah, it's weird. So I think the trying to explain this all to my beloved father-in-law, in fact, and it's like, yeah, the NFL is just literally doing their usual thing of like licking the finger, seeing which way the wind blows, then getting a million lawyers involved and trying to figure out the best way to not fuck up the situation, which they will invariably somehow
fuck up. Yep.
Anyway, last little bits. Tua is gone, not playing this week for the Dolphins. Not a surprise. 3 concussions seemingly this year.
Apparently not part of the team's game plan, was McDaniel's comment.
I don't know if he should play football again after 3 in that quick succession. And sort of like a weird precursor to the DeMar thing this week was, I remember like seeing this story about Jeff Saturday having a sook about Kayvon Thibodeau doing snow angels while Nick Foles is on his back going, "I'm fucking hurt, ow, 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 ow." And going, "Fuck you, Jeff Saturday, shut up." Jeff Saturday, obviously being a lineman, he's like, "Yo, I'm actually more pissed off at my guys for not jumping in there and then kicking the fuck out of those dudes."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Nick Foles, that was one of those moments you're like, some things, talk about like things, you know, being bigger than football. Like, what are you doing? Like, between him and Matty Ryan, you just got to go, dude, seriously, like, what's in it? What are you doing? Yeah. Like, you saw it on Joe Flacco's face all season as well. He's like, "Fuck, I made a horrible mistake doing this in New York. These guys ahead of me suck. I'm going to have to actually fucking play. This is bullshit." Yeah, exactly. I feel like there should be like a bit of a moratorium on like quarterbacks if they're not basically Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. If they're over a certain age, just go, "Look, you're basically
a red shirt, mate.
Yeah, you're a quarterback's coach. You're not actually a quarterback. Like, we want you in the room.
In practice.
We'll pay you to be on the practice squad. We'll pay you to be around. We'll pay you to be in the room, but we're not going to put you out there because you're going to get fucking creamed.
You will die."
And that's what happened to Foles. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, look, there was a couple of little, I guess, intricacies to that. One is Thibodeau went straight into the snow angels, so he didn't see.
He didn't see. That was the weird thing for Saturday. It's like he did hurt him, but he didn't see him like fucking laying there twitching a bit and going, "Oh."
He does kind of touch him, and like, you know, his teammate do come over, but he let it go. It went on for an excessive amount of time, and I agree. So there's a famous play of Jason Peters. So when Nick Foles was back at the Eagles, throws a pick, trying to take on the defender, just gets blindsided by Baker from Washington, fucking. Jason Peters goes up, gets right in his face, punch on, both players got ejected. Everyone's like, "Fuck yeah." It was like, "We were no doubt going to do that." Yep. Right? Mailata came in one of his first season things about Jalen Hurts, right? And there's so many examples of linemen stepping up to develop their... And it's almost a signal to the team that you don't give a shit about your quarterback if you don't kind of do that, 100%. Right? And the fact that Thibodeau was on the ground doing it for so long and it ended up with his teammate came over and tapped him on the shoulder and went, "Yo, maybe enough.
Not a great look, bro. Not a great look. Get the fuck out."
Then, on top of that, there's the next piece, which is where he goes over the sidelines and does the go to sleep symbol, which is... He does that anyway, right? It's not something new to Thibodeau. I get that. I don't want to be fucking abused but going, "You don't fucking know how he plays." I get that. But also, read the room, dude. If there's one fucking sentence about this week, and this will go on to a commentator that we know that we're talking about that I'm sure we'll get into, it's about reading the fucking room and knowing a time and a place. Yep. Anyway, there you go.
Jeez. Jeff Saturday, though, it's like, come on, man, get your men in line. What are you doing? You're a lineman. If there's anything they should know, it's to step up. Anyway, really quickly, let's set up the end of the wildcard races here. Again, to the best of our knowledge at this point, Seahawks, Lions, Packers in the NFC. Green Bay winning in. Simple as that.
Yep.
Detroit win, Seattle lose. Detroit are in. Seattle win, Green Bay lose. Seattle are in. It's all actually like surprisingly straightforward, which is kind of nice. You're like, "Yeah, right, thanks." Simple as that. weird seasons for all three, obviously, right? For the actual result here, it feels like Detroit may have earned it the most with the better story. Yep. Seattle have really shit the bed in the second half. Green Bay, I'm just going to come up on you like a ninja. Like, that's basically how they've done their season. Like, oh, now our defense is actually playing well now that it's cold. And you're like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, the fact they won this week, no hassles, without Christian Watson and shit was pretty gnarly. But they just went, guess what? Here's Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. And you're like, oh, yeah. That's probably one of the best two-headed fucking running back combos you can have.
And anyway, some defense. I think they had a solid lead. They had a solid lead, and Aaron had thrown like 3/5 of fuck all. And you're like, okay, that defense that we spoke about at the beginning of the season that was supposed to be your strong point, now is like actually okay.
Interception they had basically sealed that game, really, didn't it? And it's like, Packer up, boys. What's your, you know, read of that? Who do you think actually gets in?
Look, I think, I know, it's once again, we're talking about the story. I know who I want, and that is definitely want Detroit. We said this weeks ago.
As a Green Bay fan, you actually want Detroit to get in there. That's
fucking
amazing.
I'm never going to live this down. I went to one fucking thing. I think, look, the annoyance of Aaron Rodgers this whole fucking season, and just doing enough at the end. And the same with Tom, right? Like, even so many, like, 55-minute shithouse games and then 5 minutes at the end. 5 minutes of brilliance. You're like, fuck. Yeah, all right. So, look, I think I would like Detroit, but, you know, I just think if Green Bay can... I think it's Detroit's going to get in. Fuck it. I think Seattle's defense has been...
shithouse.
Pretty fucking shit. I did see an injury update on Tyler Lockett, so I don't know whether he's playing this week. I mean, the Geno story is nice. I think the Packers coming up against a stronger offense this week will maybe show them up a little bit. And I think Detroit's going to sneak it through.
I'm more worried about Detroit on the road. We'll get to that later when we do the picks. AFC, Pat Steelers, Dolphins. Pat's win therein. Dolphins over the Steelers if they both win. And Pats lose, obviously. Just crazy, though, to think about this, that the Steelers are even in this fucking conversation.
How the fuck are the Steelers? That was about to be my point.
So,
how are they?
I think I had a piece in the paper about... So I tipped Pittsburgh. Yeah, that's right. It was in the primetime piece that we did for Sunday's paper about the Sunday and Monday games. And Pittsburgh, and it's like, yeah, look, this was going to be Mike Tomlin's first ever season finishing under 500. It was. It was written. They were 2-6. 2-6 going into the bye, guys.
Crazy.
And now they're like one of the hottest teams in the NFL. What the fuck? And it's 2 weeks of Kenny Pickett back-to-back game-winning touchdown throws, essentially. Like, go-ahead game winners. Like, it's fucking awesome. Like, fuck the Steelers, but also, Jesus, that's pretty impressive.
It's also amazing what happens when you get a player like TJ Watt back, right? Like, that
100% spark that defense.
Fucking oath, right? This is a completely different team. And even, like, they're putting up, not setting the world on fire, but they're actually putting up some points. I mean, Najee was not many, but just enough. But Najee was that first half of his season was fucking atrocious.
Yeah, it looks like he cares. It's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly, right? So,
all right, other injury news that you've got floating around?
Yeah, look, it's weird this week because it's not just the injury news. It's actually resting of players and players that don't mean anything, right? So, so Tua is Gonski's for this week, but Teddy's got a busted pinky, so they'll be testing that on his throwing hand. So they'll be testing that this week to see if he can clutch the ball and throw.
That was also another amazing moment of Teddy Covers. Teddy Covers Bridgewater. In that game, even though he goes out injured late, they still covered that game, which was just...
Oh, really?
They should not have, but they did, and it was amazing. Yeah. So Teddy Covers, undefeated. Unbelievable.
There you go. There you go. Juzzy Fields with a hip. They've shut him down for the rest of the year, which means that everyone's come out and gone, ha-ha, Minnesota's going to win a fucking game. So with the debacle around Carson Wentz and actually realizing that you are eliminated,
100%.
Riverboat Ron, rookie Sam Howell, who when they were on the shitter earlier this year, people were screaming, why is the fucking rookie not starting? You've invested a draft pick. Well, he gets two in a game that doesn't matter, week 18. But apparently, by reports, they're talking about a two quarterback scheme. With him and Heineken. So Wentz is gone, skis. Foles out again. That doesn't have implications for the Colts, obviously. Lamar still not seen on the practice field. Huntley limited. So understanding what is going to happen with this game, how much it matters, depends on how much they push, yada, yada, yada. Interesting. And with the Giants have got their spot locked in, and the Eagles are playing for the number one seed. So, being the way the injuries have gone in this last week, the Giants may rest
everybody.
Fucking 35 out of their 53 players, and it could be, who the fuck knows.
Yep.
But then on the flip side of this, we've got players on track to be back for week 18. Deza Henry's back, full week of practice. Jalen Hurts was limited today, but they're expecting him to practice tomorrow and will do anything he can to be out there versus the Giants. And they've reactivated Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Tony Pollard's back, fully training again. Deebo Samuel has had his second week straight of full practice and ready to suit up, which makes that San Francisco offense even fucking scarier.
It is hilarious.
Yeah. And Mecole Hardman for the Chiefs has been activated from IR just in time for the playoffs. So
classic.
Bit of movement around this last week that's going to make all of your lines very squirrely, Jimmy.
Super fucking
not
squirrely.
Not even the results.
I hate it.
Not even the results. I'd be stepping out of this week, mate.
Yeah, I might tap out of my final week of picks. but the vibe for me as well is like I think KC. I had an expiring $100 bonus bet. Like I feel like just. Going into this last week, it's just Casey-ish. I'm just feeling it. So at the prices they're at, I sort of chucked it on there. To fly through the scores from last week, real quick, because I think we've kind of just covered most of the set up. The Cowboys beat the Titans 27-13 all the way back. That basically feels like 27 years ago. Titans didn't matter.
Missing everyone.
Who gives a fuck? Whatever.
Missing fucking everyone.
Patriots, 23-21. The Dolphins, a huge win. The defense again got the win. And Mac looked okay. Like, it was fine. I'd be really... Like, the Dolphins, it's a fun story. Mike McDaniel is awesome. The giant nerd who's got the coaching gig. But that team also just has had such a fucking weird season that... Like, for them to make the playoffs would be hilarious and just weird. So, anyway, they don't deserve it. Just saying. Falcons, Cardinals in a game that I did not watch a fucking second of because it had zero implications on anything. 20-19.
Right. But it was weird. It was, I watched kind of the end of it and Ritter's game winning.
I watched, red zone, it popped up at the very end. It was like Younghoe Koo booting a fucking field goal for the win. You're like, all right.
Yep. But cool. They started with like, why 4.5 minutes.
Just what are you doing? Why are you winning that game? Like, you're just fucking yourself in draft position. Like, that's dumb. Yeah. Anyway, Lions kicked the fuck out of the Bears, 41-10. Like, just fucking killed them. This is probably one of my better picks all season. Was just like, the Bears defense is horrible. The Lions at home, they're going to run right over the fucking top of them. That's exactly what happened. Jamal Williams had 144 yards, so not bad.
Good size. They're not going to win games. I mean, it's stating the fucking obvious, but we've talked about it. Jazzy Fields put up 132 yards on the ground, including a fucking epic 60-yarder.
Should have sat in 3 weeks ago. What are you doing?
7 of 21 for 75 yards with a touchdown and a pick.
Yep.
Get the kind of weapon outside
it'll
Chase.
It'll be fine. Just don't get him hurt. Chiefs. Beat the Broncos in a wild game. 27-24. This is the dead coach bounce. It nearly happened. They definitely covered because I think it was like they were out to like 13.5 point favorites or something like that. I think they might have been 13.5 when we picked them last week. And Chiefs needed every little bit of that game to win it. So
they had a second half. The Broncos had a second half lead.
Yeah,
it was like, wait, what?
Hang on, what's going
and
on?
And Rusty, like
ran.
That's what I was about to say. He ran for 2 touchdowns. He looked like he wanted to be there. It was like an audition for whoever's coming in to coach next.
He's like, no, seriously, I can still play. Sir, let's ride. Ugh. Speaking of riding, the Giants rode all over the top of the Colts, 38-10, as you've already hit on. This was a shit pumping. Danny Dimes and Saquon basically going, we fucking love Brian Daboll. Can we please stay here? Is like one of the more underrated stories. If the Giants just get like one receiver.
They've tried. They invested, what, $125 million in fucking Kenny Golladay or whatever the fuck they did. They've tried to get him over the years, and it's just not happened. But, yeah, the fact that Daniel Jones put up 91 yards on the ground, he's still like, you know, he's trying to be efficient without putting up sparkling yards. But
Daboll's just turned him into supercharged Taysom Hill, and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's look, I'm all about it. As an Eagles fan who's seen how Danny Dimes has fallen over himself in the open field, I'm 100% okay with them giving him an extension.
Nice.
Because the best, what are they going to do? Like, pick up, I don't need another Dak Prescott in the fucking division. I'm quite happy to Danny Dimes. But Saquon, look, same issues as you know, signing any running back to a long-term extension. One good injury-free year does not put you in line for a massive extension, but they're going to try and make, reportedly, they're going to try and make both of them part of the long-term future of the Giants. So there you go.
Yeah, you just can't overpay for running backs. Simple as that.
Exactly.
Your guys lost to the Saints 20-10. Minshew,
he was bad,
not great.
He was bad.
I love Minshew, you know that, but geez.
Yeah. It was real bad. Look, there was there's a number of things. One is the zone coverage without Avante Maddox and without Chauncey Gardner has just been horrendous. And they know that every team knows that Slay and Bradbury aren't going to move from the outside. So there's like running everyone over the middle. Oh yeah, did CD Lamb did it? Fucking the Saints did it. So we need to fix that up. But there's also a lot of in like Lane Johnson out. The Cam Jordan just went off his fucking head, and they literally could not get AJ or Devontae fucking the ball in the first half. Minshew had no time to throw, and his decision making was horrendous. They settled down, but by that stage, it was catching up, right? Yep. So it was just gross. The play calling was horrible. The protection wasn't great, and the decision making on quarterback was horrendous. So fingers crossed he comes back this if Jalen comes back this week, winning we're the number one seed, and then everyone gets a rest, and
it'd be nice. It would be very nice, I think, for your team right now.
It would have been nicer if the Bucs game that we're about to talk about was before this, so the Saints had nothing to play for.
Yeah.
But because after this game, they literally didn't.
That's it. Bucs 30, Panthers 24, and this was the Mike Evans game. 3 touchdowns. Like, still good. Jeez.
Yep.
One of those moments where you go, oh, yeah, Mike Evans has a fuck ton of touchdowns and will be in the Hall of Fame. Well, you don't think about it, but he will be. And won a Super Bowl, is awesome. Shit ton of yards.
Quietly puts up 1,000 to 1,200 yards.
Sneakily
every
young.
Fucking year.
It feels like every he's always hurt, but he's actually still always kind of playing and always just sort of just keeps going. So the opposite of Julio Jones. But the Bucks with that win beat the Panthers and win the division as mentioned.
Yep.
8-8 and you've won the division. What a world.
Yep.
Just very much shades of like that. Who was it? The Seahawks
Panthers?
Seahawks of like 2008, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds about right.
Panthers also did it 7-9, and I think the The Commanders 2 years ago. It's the only time Ron Rivera has made it to the playoffs and he got fucking quickly dispatched. But that was when the NFC East was fucking shit. And now everyone except the Commanders will be looking at going over 500.
Somewhat ironically. Browns beat the Commanders, speaking of which, 24-10, because Carson Wentz is shithouse.
That was fucking gross. It's
pretty funny.
And
I mean,
I don't have much more to say about this game.
The Browns.
I don't like the Browns.
Whatever.
I don't like the Commanders.
The best part is, I think for me, I had both of these teams winning under 8.5 games, and both those bets are going to hit. So happy days.
What does it say about your mate fucking Deshaun Watson, who goes 9 of 18 for 169 yards?
It means you've wasted a quarter of $1 billion.
But Amari Cooper puts up 105.
Tough scenes.
So yeah. Anyway,
Jags kicked the shit out of the Texans, 31-3. Pretty easy.
Yeah.
A lot of good defense from the Jags, I guess, but it's the Texans. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Davis Mills, couple of fucking different quarterbacks, whatever.
Yeah, went off his nuts.
Okay. Niners, Raiders, best game of the weekend, basically, 37-34.
Fucking nuts.
Niners absolutely need a Robbie Gould nuts. Field goal to win it after Robbie Gould missed field goal. Didn't win it. So he more than made up for it. Bit of redemption. Good stuff. Crazy game.
The Stidham game, not the car.
You knew it was going to happen. The car thing is just so emotional, and Stidham comes out. He's not bad. And this is one of those things where you have a quarterback and a coach who are very clearly on the same level. McDaniels takes him from New England with him to Vegas. And it's like, yeah, this dude just knows McDaniels shit back to front. He'll run it. He'll be fine. And he was really good. Like, Stidham looked fucking great. I'm like, Stidham looks better than Mac Jones has ever looked.
There's a couple of bits to go into there. Funnily enough, when you add Renfro and Waller back into that Vegas offense and don't just rely on Adams and Jacobs, then there's a few weapons there. But Devonta Adams went fucking off. So obviously, that first touchdown where he Stidham put it in the perfect position over the top of the defender in the end zone, and how the fuck he dragged his toes down.
So good.
It's like, there's like him and maybe two people in the league that can do that. And then the second touchdown where it was just like, shoot the defender out of his shoes, and then just fucking, it was clear blue skies, right? Yeah. That was pretty fucking amazing. But then the fact that it got to that overtime and it was, to get to overtime, the Raiders were almost going to take it. And then there was the Ray Murray McLeod big ass run. And then McCaffrey, just for a little dude, he will run through cunts.
He
will run through cunts, right?
He seriously just like head down is like, I don't know, here's another extra 12 yards. And you're like, what? Yeah. What? What?
Yep.
It's awesome.
And then they punched that in to take the lead with 2 minutes to go. And I think from memory, the 49ers had not allowed a single point in the final 2 minutes of the game all season. And then Stidham just chucks this bomb to fucking Adams that somehow he put, like, I was like, yeah, that hasn't been, he fucking caught that. And then gave it to Jacobs to punch in get that to take it to overtime. But yeah, and then as young quarterbacks do, threw an interception that just kind of got, tipped out of the hand or something, threw an interception that just pretty much got run back with 10, 15 yards of the end zone, and Robbie Gould got the redemption.
Yep. And that was the Raiders eliminated. Niners roll. Off they go. 12-4, looking good. Purdy, McCaffrey, Debo coming back. Got to feel pretty good about it. Seahawks.
Ayuk had a couple of really good plays in that game.
Ayuk had some great ones across the middle. Shit. Yeah. Seahawks kicked the shit out of the Jets because Mike White turned into the White Lotus, Mike White. Seahawks at home. Kenny Walker threw his hat way back into the ring for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Packers killed the Vikings 41-17, just fucking smoked it from the get-go.
This was nuts. This was a weird game. It was like the turnover, as you said, the Packers defense. It was – I was supposed to have a – Packers fan come over and watch it with me, and I'm like, he decided to watch it late, and I'm trying not to mention anything to me, and he's just sending me through messages going, what the fuck is going on? Right? Like, he didn't expect, like, he expected to put up a fight, because there's always those weird North Division games.
I like this. Anything could happen. Is this Packers fan like a Fight Club situation where it's just you?
No, it is the guy who took me to that fucking Packers event last year.
It's like
year.
Tyler Durden. I mean, not Gaz Byrne. There you go.
Yeah.
The Rams got killed in the Battle of LA by the Chargers, 31-10. This was never in doubt. They look so... Eckler's awesome. Like, I don't know what it is, but he's just... He's awesome. And you're like, okay, good job, Austin Eckler. Do your thing. And Cam Akers ran over the top of everybody as well, but the Chargers, just too good. Juzzy Herb smashed it. The last game, obviously, because Bills-Bengals called off. Steelers 16-13 over the Ravens. No love lost between the two AFC North rivals there, Gary. And Kenny Pickett, the game-winning touchdown to Najee. Unreal.
It was a fucking pretty horrible game, though.
Pretty tough game. Pretty tough game to sit through. Like,
Is
anything going to happen here? No. Oh, okay, cool. And then they Steelers moved to 8-8. Tomlin just out there crushing it. And Tomlin's actually been one of the other dudes, like, it sort of came out during the DeMar Hamlin stuff, right? Because he's from Pittsburgh, and he's just like, that kid fucking rules. We love him. It's all sort of shit. All right, let's do some yeah nahs real quickly. Would the Jets be a Super Bowl contender if they'd only just kept Sam Darnold, Gaz? Yeah, nah.
Whoa, you'd fucking... I'm just saying. You know, last regular season weeks and you're dipping into that barrel, right? Well, look, I don't know, man, because he had a number of stints in, like, had that first drive with the Panthers. He's had so many fucking chances. But when you look at if the way the Panthers ended the season... could have been the way that they'd started the season.
They'd be in the playoffs.
Then,
If Baker Mayfield hadn't cost them a couple of games early on and they just, had rolled with Darnold the entire time, if he hadn't gotten hurt, who knows what would have happened. But, you know.
Oh, look, if you think about an offensive
line.
If
your auntie had nuts, she'd be your uncle.
Yeah, exactly. If you got that Robert Saleh defense with, let's say, Breece Hall was still around and actually offensive run first game plan that didn't rely on Sam Darnold's arm, then maybe. Yeah. But Breece Hall's not around, Sam Darnold's not there, so no.
the legend of Mike White took a bit of a hit this week, so.
Yeah.
Weirdest part was, I think, that Salah and co came out and said, no, we ride with Zach Wilson.
Yep.
And everyone's like, yeah, I know, we understand that you have to say that now.
Yeah.
But, the proof is in the pudding. Does Gardner Minshew have that dog in him? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, he does.
I was a bit worried about this week, Gaz.
Yeah, no. I want it to... It's fucked, right? So one of the things that's really frustrated me this week on Eagles media is this team would still be undefeated if it had the 2017 coaching staff. I'm like, wait, what? You're talking about Frankie Reich, who just got sacked from the Colts, even though they tried to build around him. You're talking about Dougie P, who we all spent 2018 and 19 screaming about run the fucking ball.
Yep.
And everyone was whinging about it. But it's like, so my thought about that was, it's the vibe of thinking back to my ex-girlfriend because... and the positive moments just because my wife left the milk out, right? And
how often does that happen, apparently? Seemingly a lot.
But that's the thing, right? So, but if you think one of the things that's been forgotten about, so getting onto the Minshew topic, is that everyone after this game just jumped down his throat and said, oh, fuck, we would have won that. Like, he's fucking... But think about in the 2017 season, Nick Foles in the last 3 weeks of regular season was fucking horrendous.
Yep.
Right? It takes a coaching staff when you're flipping a game plan from a running quarterback to a statue, well, it's going to take a few weeks to adjust. I think he's done enough over the journey to warrant a proper chance starting somewhere.
I just love that I set you off just by saying, I love Minshew. Like, I fucking love him. I take him over Mac Jones any day. Put that on a t-shirt.
No, but I got PTSD from all of the fucking the media this week of people like how they flip-flop. Minshew's the fucking greatest. Yeah. You know, with Cowboys, we got close. It was a couple of game time decisions. And then, he's the fucking worst.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Like, settle down, guys.
Can we sign Big Dick Nick right now or not? What's going on?
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, there was some of that. The fuck, settle down.
Yep. Anyway. Speaking of which, Carson Wentz, does he start another game in the NFL as a starter? Yeah, nah.
As you said, I think unless injury is starting as a backup, I think he has to, right? That the days of those contract values that he's after, I haven't looked at it. Usually I'm straight onto this shit. But looking at what that's going to cost Washington to cut him, I haven't looked at the impact yet. But I do know that him not playing enough, he didn't hit the threshold this year. So I think it's a third round, not a second round, that they owe the Colts or whatever it was.
Nice.
But I mean, mate, he's got a... I don't know how you can throw him in there, because he just has those moments, and he'll never get away from those moments.
No, just go.
It's that hero ball. He plays hero ball, and he always has.
Go shoot some ducks and do your thing, Carson. I think we're done here.
Oh, this is a fucking... This is an aside, and this is going to sound like a Carson fucking pick-off thing, but I still have him on certain social media, and he did this. He got custom Air Jordans made with a family photo on the tongue and scriptures all around, and like this weird, like family Air Jordans. And it was, okay, you do you. When you've got that much money, to be honest, he can do what the fuck he wants. But, ew. Anyway.
Weirdo. Yeah. The boat curse, finally. Is it done? Yeah, nah.
I hope not, because it's been a good time as an Eagles fan.
I've always loved the boat pick curse so much. Like, as I said, in New York while it happened, watching the New York media lose their fucking minds for about 2 weeks about that boat pick was amazing. And this, you know, that's a lot of it is also to do with OBJ, obviously, but Jesus, was it a good time? It was great. Yep. It's like, what are these dudes doing on a boat? So, I don't know, probably relaxing.
Yeah.
Not playing football for the first time this week on their day off on a boat. Is it on a lake? An estuary? Is it on the sea? It doesn't seem to matter. It's a boat. It's like, all right, just chill the fuck out. Anyway. Yeah. Obviously, our good bloke of the week, the bloke we all want to buy a beer this week, is Damar Hamlin. Yeah. Simple as that. I mean, I hit on this earlier. It's like, when something bad happens, that's not when you want to hear about all the good shit that someone does. Mm. But when it's a dude like Damar, well, what is he, like a 6-round pick?
Yeah, just 2021. So he's hardly been in the NFL a long time.
Scrapping his way to his, you know, role, and he's been playing pretty bloody well for the Bills, and he's just, you know, you have all these moments of like, oh yeah, cool. Just, this is a very run of the mill NFL story of like a lower round draft pick fighting his way into the starting lineup and being good. And then you hear shit like the toy drive stuff, and like, it sucks that it takes a fucking horrifying injury to shed some light on that shit, you know? So, just hoping that he pulls through and that we can buy him a beer, because we'll send him a happy slab from NFL Australia if he does. So,
yeah.
Seriously. And I think you've got some other really good additions there, because I think one of the things that I want to stand up was
a big, wider story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, the first responders and the medical staff we've already touched on. Sean McDermott and Zach Taylor, like,
That was where I would have gone as well.
Exemplary,
like,
right? They were...
Like, two coaches that you're like, sure. I mean, very, I don't know, run-of-the-mill McDermott, Zach Taylor kind of vibes. They did the right thing, you know? Yeah. They did the right thing for their players. They did the right thing for their guys, the teammates. Yeah. Everybody there, and in that sort of situation, you can imagine like the sort of decision tree that you're working through there. So like, nah, seriously, we're not going to fucking play. Like,
yeah.
Our guys just saw what just happened. So,
you know, I mean, there's stories that, Sean McDermott's come from the Andy Reid, Jim Johnson coaching tree, where it's always been players first, right? Players have always treated Andy Reid as a father figure, right? And you look at Zach Taylor going around the community before, you know, the playoffs last year, right? Going around to the bars and all that sort of stuff. Like, there's definitely a community-minded focus to these guys and a people-minded focus. So it doesn't surprise me, but the way they behaved, like, was... it was almost like, fuck the NFL, right? No, not that they did say that, and they would never come out and say that. If you look at Zach Taylor's press conference that I mentioned before, he's very good at playing diplomatic, but the way he talks through what Joey B did, what their captains did, what it was like out actually on the field, it's kind of, you can picture it, right? Which leads on to the next one, Joey B and the Bengals captains. So they, and this is part of Zach Taylor's story, he had Joey B come up to him and say, I want to go, can you get us in with the Bills captains? And he didn't know how to handle that. And he went over to the Bills rooms and asked Sean McDermott if they could speak to Allen and the rest of, and Poyer and the rest of the guys. And the captains just met, chatted, and gave their support and just said, whatever you guys want to do, right? Like, this is, you know. So you got to, like, and there's been more contact and Joe B coming out afterwards and all that sort of stuff. Bills and Bengals fans, so, like, going straight out the, like, vigil, straight out the front of the hospital, straight afterwards and starting those prayer sessions and all that sort of stuff. Straight onto that. And then the NFL fans, like kind of the positive NFL fans everywhere, and you touched on it about the toy drive, and I looked it up just before, and here's another, at the time of recording, his original $2,500 goal, which is reflective of, you know, as you said, the 6th round draft pick, scraping up for his role, $2,500, it was at $6.986 million. That was at the time of that we recorded this on Thursday afternoon.
Awesome.
So they're all the positive stories that have, you know, come out of what is ultimately a really fucking shitty situation.
Yep. Flip side. Oh, mate, no, mate. The NFL. Hey, Gaz. So your friend, workmate, buddy that you hang out with all the time at work, so he's just keeled over in front of you and needed to be resuscitated, given CPR for 9 minutes. On the floor of your office in front of you. And your boss has walked in going, all right, take 5 minutes, Gaz, then get the fuck back to work.
Mm.
Not ideal. No, we never did that. Didn't you?
Yeah.
We need to, guys, you need to follow what we usually do. One Mississippi, two. Oh, maybe that's a bad idea. Fucking
yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Rock and hard place in the NFL, as we sort of hit on already.
Yeah. Yep.
Unprecedented. They didn't know what to do. Very clearly, we're like, I guess this is what we usually do, but we're not telling you to do it. Aha! See, we never told you to do it. Very NFL-y. Skip Bayless. Pretty obvious one there, Gaz. He who shall not be named, I feel like, this week. Fucking fuck. Hell. No doubt the NFL is considering postponing the rest of this game, but how? This late in the season, a game of this magnitude is crucial to the regular season outcome, which suddenly seems so irrelevant. But didn't you read the last bit? I said it suddenly seems so... Then shut the fuck up, Skip. Yep. I don't know, simple as that. Don't say it then. Oh, everything I said is actually irrelevant. Then don't fucking say it. That ain't it, Skip.
Yeah.
Skip.
So... There's not playing devil's advocate because I refuse to, because in this situation he was fucking wrong, but it was part of a 3-tweet series,
yep,
right? Where he's gone in, said this health, this is fucking blah 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 blah, and he's saying that this part of the tweet was taken out of context. But I will go back, and what he's saying here is, you know, that the outcome of the season suddenly seems irrelevant when reflected on his previous tweet, which was about the player's health. But, so what I would add here for all of the defenders of Skip Bayless in this scenario is that what he said is not actually wrong, but if you go back to every other media outlet who was making comment at the time, simply said, nothing else matters, it's about the health of the player.
Yep.
Nothing else matters, it's all about timing and context. 2 days later, we're all now talking about what does this mean for the season. How does it play? We're all still mentioning his health and we all still care, but right at that very point in time when you're not reading the rest of Twitter and you're just letting your verbal diarrhea explode through your fingers, you're commenting on the season outcome, Skip. You are fucking wrong.
Yeah, because we know 2 days later that he hasn't died yet.
Correct.
And hopefully he fucking doesn't, obviously. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Whereas Skip is doing this and it's like, oh, he's fucking in the back of an ambulance at this point. Like, what are you doing, Skip? Fucking hell. Pull your head in,
you
idiot.
There's a part two to that, right? And part two is the fact that the next day, Shannon Sharpe did not show up to Undisputed. Now, there was obviously rumor and innuendo on the reasons that would be. But there was really two serious trains of thought. One is that he just, as an ex-player, just couldn't deal with it and just wanted to take his time to himself. And the second was that he was ultimately pissed off with Skip and was like, fuck that guy. I can't be in a room with that guy because that's inappropriate. But he goes on air today. Yeah. So he goes on air this morning. And so the obvious thing is that they go to start, and you can get this on YouTube, the first 60 seconds, where he goes to say, look, there's going to be rumors and innuendo about why, you know, as an ex-player, it hit me differently. I've seen some of my players and my mates do that. Everyone was asking about that tweet from Skip. And while I hope that he takes that down, and he went to say something next, and Skip goes, no, wait, time out. I'm not taking that down. And then once again, Skip made it about him fucking self, right? You haven't stepped on the field. This is someone explaining his thing. Let him get to his monologue. And it got shut the fuck down because Shannon was like, I'm going to kill this guy.
Yeah.
Right?
The very simple idea is here is Skip, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Simple as that. 100%. Shut the fuck up.
But once again, as a couple of people have said, well, a lot of people have said online, we're fucking talking about him, so Skip won again. Right?
Skip.
Anyway.
Skip. Anyway. Hopefully he just ends up frying his balls with his weird nut level microwave. I'm not sure if you've ever seen that in his house. It's like, why has he got a nut level microwave? What are you doing?
Is it directly over the bin as well?
It's like over the bin, and it's like, are you heating shit up just to put it in the bin? What? Are you trying to make sure that you're completely sterile, which is fine by me at this point? Anyway, and the other one is Ron Rivera didn't win himself too many mates with the we can be eliminated comment. As I said, felt like he was vaguely taking the piss, but no one's entirely sure.
No, he came out and, as I said, he came out and said it was a gaffe, but, you know, Ron Rivera is a very dry dude anyway. But he was on the hot seat at him and Mike McCarthy, right? At the beginning of the part of our pre-season, if you don't make the playoffs, you're fucking at risk. And now, like, Mike McCarthy's not home free, right? Because they've been saying that if he doesn't make a deep playoff run.
If they're one and done, he's cooked. Sean like, get
Payton,
the fuck out of
here. Sean Payton's out there building his own fucking coaching staff.
Sean Payton's like, hey, Jerry, just add an extra O on that number and away we go.
Yeah, exactly. But when you look at Ron Rivera, he's now had three seasons, never finished above 500, made the playoffs once, and that was with a, 7-9
fuck
record?
Team, yep.
And was knocked straight out, right? So he's not won a playoff. But I think even worse is that every other team in the NFC has improved over that time, right? Giants are investing in the future. They've got their coach. Eagles are like, finished a rebuild and a challenger. Cowboys are a challenger. Contender is the word that I'm in. But the Rivera has these Commanders, and they're still years away in a rebuild. Right?
It's weird.
It's a funny thing. Sorry, with Sam Howell. This is one of the things I was going to add before. Sam Howell, right? It's a double-edged sword for Ron Rivera. If he plays well this week against the Cowboys, well, then the entire media is going to be like, why the fuck didn't you start this guy earlier and you've thrown Carson Wentz back on us? And if he's shit, then everyone's going to go, well, we're so far behind in our rebuild, we might as well do it behind a new coach.
Yep.
So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Rock right? Hard place. Unpopular opinion of the day. Simple one for me. I find it very, very, very strange, but very, 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 very American, Gaz, that not once during the, did anyone say during the broadcast that, our man's heart stopped. So, like, he quite conceivably died on the field. Mm-hmm. I understand that you got to protect the brand, but also just fucking call it as you see it. That's all I ever ask. Just call it as you see it. It's like our man's heart stopped. He died, but this is also the thing where the CPR and like the medics coming into the play, like, is so fucking miraculous and massive that even if he's in a medically induced coma at the moment, that's fucking better than being dead. So, yeah. They sort of danced around it. And look, as I mentioned, like, the broadcast team were very, very good. But there was a cutback to the studio at one point where Susie Kolber was being so fucking just like, and as we come back, 24-year-old Damar Hamlin. I'm like, oh, fuck, he's dead. Like, she's just, like, the intoning of just, like, the way that she sort of laid it out. It's like, oh, my God, this is literally where they're going to announce that, yeah, he's passed away. It's like, what the fucking hell?
Yep.
The thing about this is I don't know that it should have been that much of a surprise, right? Mm. And this is where the unpopular aspect of this comes in. How do the broadcast partners not have a playbook for this? You know? I feel like there's got to be something where you go, all right, something horrible happens. It's an extremely violent sport. Prepare for the worst, hope for the best, right?
Mm.
Break in case of emergency, extreme emergency, obviously. What do we do?
Mm.
And it's weird that no one sort of had any sort of vibe of like, all right, whoa, okay, so we'll cut back to the New York studio. We'll play it by ear and we'll just sort of hope for news. And the same sort of thing goes for the NFL. Like, surely you've got to have protocols in place for this sort of shit. Like, in the extreme event that something horrifying like this happens. Like, the big thing that stands out to me, Gaz, is you think about Ryan Shazier.
Mm. That was the fucking first one ever it goes to, right?
Superstar defenseman on the Steelers.
Yep.
And that dude got swept under the rug quicker than you could say fucking boo, unless you're literally in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Like, they fucking ask him to come out just every so often. Everyone goes, oh my God, it's Ryan Shazier. It's like, that dude can barely fucking walk now, and it's like a miracle that he can walk.
Yeah.
Because, like, he is one of the most inspiring stories ever. Yeah, 100%. Just to be walking again in the NFL, like, yeah, that never happened. What are you fucking talking about? Who?
Mm.
Ryan, what? Oh, no, yeah, sure. We're probably playing him under the rug so he doesn't fucking sue us or anything, but fucking hell. Like,
yep.
I feel like after all that, there's got to be some sort of break in case of extreme emergency thing that they have in place, just some sort of protocol. You're like, well, cool. This is what we do now.
I mean, you're obviously more of a media guy than I am, but like, is it one of those things that always happens in every fucking disaster recovery scenario in any business, right? Where you're like, ah, oh, that fucking thing happened. We weren't ready. We need to make sure that that thing is prepared for next. And then it doesn't get used. It doesn't get used. It doesn't get used. And then 3, 4, 5 years down the track, it's like it never happened the first time.
Yeah.
We've made no learnings. You know, we like, yeah, preparation. As you said, look, you know, they're lucky that all of those dudes were there. If that was a local sports team, a college game, well, college probably a bad example. If it was a high school Friday Night Lights type scenario, that dude's dead. Right.
100%. Yeah. Anyway, I just find it weird that it's like they danced around the idea that he actually probably died on the field technically.
Mm.
And it's like just had to be resuscitated, came back, hopefully recovers. Jesus Christ, if he does, it's fucking awesome. And I just kind of feel like we should be a little bit more prepared to deal with this. Like, it's nice that the way that they did deal with it was really good. But at the same time, I don't want to hear from Adam Schefter reheating, like, we don't know what's going on. It's like, we understand that, Schefter. Tell us fucking just anything about, give us some insight into what's going on. It's like, you don't have anything, then shut the fuck up. Go to Booger again.
Yeah.
And that's why Booger and Ryan Clark were so good, right? Because, and even like Scott Van Pelt, who feels like one of the more empathetic sports broadcasters in the world. And to be honest, like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, same sort of vibes. Like, Buck has been around this his entire life. His dad's a, you know, very famous broadcaster. Aikman played for years and years and years and years. And like, they're just completely struck silent as well.
Yeah.
And they don't know where to go. It sort of just stands out to me that it's like, yeah, I feel like there should be some sort of playbook, protocol, something that we've got. And it sort of like brings to mind like cricket, you know, we brought in some, you know, extra rules, extra precautions regarding head hits and all that sort of shit, even if you're wearing a helmet. The problem for me in the back of my brain now is like AFL is like a wildly violent sport that has no pads or helmets. Mm. Like, we've seen some pretty fucking horrific injuries on an AFL field, but it's like, is there anything in place for an AFL injury of this fucking caliber? You know, probably not. I'm just saying, probably should be. Yeah.
But if you look at the also, sorry to drag on this point, but if we look at the other side of that, we're talking about the fucking, well, how many, if this is related to a tackle, this is like a one in a fucking 10 million, how many times tackles happened since this last major injury? We are talking about a league that cannot get the concussion protocol, right? Yeah. That happens 50 times a fucking season.
We'll
right?
send Tua back out there again. We'll just send Tua out again. He's fine. He's fine. It's like, no,
what we'll do is we'll employ spotters who'll stand there on the sidelines at a fucking at a Patriots game and look straight at a wide receiver who can't fucking stand up straight, right?
And miss then it say, completely. Nah. That's what happens when you pay $7.50 an hour for like some spotter. So.
Can't get that shit right. How are they going to get on the absolute worst case fucking scenario? Yeah. Right? So
anyway, Australian spotty, the Aussies, playoffs, Mitch Wish, obviously with the Niners. One of my favorite stats I was like just looking through this week. He's got the third longest punt all year, which is awesome.
Okay.
Dude's got a super boot. We understand that. He averages the second shortest amount of yards though because the Niners are that good that he never has to kick it that long. It's amazing. I love it. Dicko in Seattle, he might make it, depending on what happens with Green Bay this week. Obviously, our man, Jordan Mailata.
Yeah, he's going to be, well, it depends on where he's going to play with Lane Johnson coming back or not.
And obviously, Adam Gotsis got a rest week this week with the Jags, as they sort of sat a bunch of dudes, and hopefully they'll beat the Titans this week. No dice for, obviously, Camo Johnson. No. Down there in Houston. Our man Aaron Sipos as well.
No, it doesn't look like injured. He's... well, I haven't heard anything more about it. Like, he was still out indefinitely with that ankle. So, I think Kearns will be starting for the rest of the year.
Yep. Really quick, Outback Takehouse. Outback Takehouse. It's Thursday, Gaz. That means 2-for-1 flat, Bloomin' Onions. That's right. No one knows what the fuck a Bloomin' Onion is. What is it? A deep-fried onion? Made it look like a flower. What the fuck are you talking about? No one in Australia's ever eaten that. Fuck off. Only... at Outback. Today's flame grill take, 1,000,000%. The NFL is sniffing Aaron Rodgers' jocks. Seriously. Detroit needs the Seahawks to lose to the Rams. That game's being played at 4:30 in the Arvo. And it's going to be over before Packers Lions. Lions will know the fucking extent of what they've got to do. Like they could just like not have anything to play for, Gaz. So Aaron Rodgers out there going, look at my big swinging dick. I'm going to make the playoffs only at Outback. Yeah, hashtag NFL rigged. Like, that's fucked because, Seahawks, what, if they win, Detroit are like, well, fuck, we can't make the playoffs anyway. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Yep. And that's your fucking prime time. Yeah.
And that's prime time. So, just saying.
Oh, but look, to be fair, well, look, I get it, but also they were, it's logical because Philly, Dallas, Minnesota and the Niners are all playing at 4:25, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and they're doing it because they're the four teams potentially who could take the number one seat. So playing them all at the same time gives them something to play for because if the Eagles had won first, well, then Cowboys are resting everyone, right? So I think someone had to play. You're hardly going to put, fucking Arizona 49ers is the primetime game.
True. All right.
LA, Seattle.
Captain Fantasy. Fantasy, who gives a fuck at this point? That's one of those weird ones where...
Yeah.
I kind of mentioned this at the... Look. You should have mentioned this at the top. Like, betting and fantasy were like the two things that you're like, oh, people are going to flip their lids about this unfinished game. I think for betting purposes, it's kind of like fine because betting companies can just void... return your money, off you go. And it was very early in the game, obviously, when it all happened. So it's not like a tenterhooks kind of, my 25-leg multi was about to make me $27 million. But yeah, fantasy is like sort of been left in the lurch a little bit. You, Gaz.
I was going to say, unless it was our league who I won our league. For me, it was my first ever fucking game against the shit Paul Glaze. sorry, Tony. Before this game started. So, and I'm not going to lie, Our man Tom Brady and those three touchdowns to Mike Evans, pretty much, and Austin Eckler got me over the line, right? So, but yeah, you're right. There's a whole bunch of theories and there's stuff depending on your league. Depends on, like, we got an email from Yahoo today. There's emails from fucking NFL.com, from Sleeper, like, all handling it differently, right?
Yeah.
Some of them are seeing as a, like, holding up, are actually giving the results based on what had been done so far, but then not settling until the NFL actually decides, so yeah, could reverse the fucking thing. Theories about using their projected scores. Theories about just... It's just hectic, right?
It's tough. I also like that we had, in our fantasy league, super competitive all year. Yeah. And then as soon as, you know, consolation brackets, no one gives a fuck. And even the 2-4 matchup, I own the Bears and Ricky Williams Veggie Patch, just gave zero fucks and had two of the lowest scores all season. So it's pretty amazing. But yeah, you absolutely shit pumped Todd Poglase. So good job, Gaz. You won fantasy.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of you.
We didn't tell the, we forgot to tell the guys they were all chipping in $50.
Yeah.
To go towards an epic trophy and a night out for the winner, right?
Yep. Yep. Definitely. Which will all be spent on the many beers you'll end up owing me at the end of the season.
You. So. Oh, fucking you.
Yeah. But awesome year in terms of fantasy stuff.
It was good
time. And you do have that moment, though, with the DeMar Hamlin thing. You're like, yeah, fantasy doesn't fucking matter. Like, you can see the grief of just, like, folks going, oh, but my fan... Nah, shut up. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Way to shut up.
Yep, exactly.
Righto. Previews for next week. So I'm up 15 picks so far on Gaz. And considering I'm down in the studio today, my internet's not working. So I have seen his updates on his picks. I've got a couple that I actually need to change because I actually can't do them while I have no internet down here. That's what happens when using Google Docs. But anyway, we've got some weird ones, obviously, as Gaz alluded to earlier. Like, picks this week are fucked. It's like you're going to have confidence maybe in 5 games out of the 16. Yeah. So best of luck to everybody picking. Based on last week, I hit 9 of the 15 that finished. Gaz went 8 of 15. So I picked up one extra. I think a lot of that was to do, as I alluded to, Miami covering was the big one. I think that split the difference. And there's a couple of other good. We had some really good mixes last week, I think, but
yeah, we had a lot different. So the fact that it's only come out one different is pretty good.
We did trade, yeah, the ones that we had are different. So, but this week Gaz is trying to make up a few beers because he doesn't want to owe me more than half a slab.
Going, well, it's all or nothing, Jimmy. I've got.
I appreciate this vibe.
If I'm looking at this correctly, it's 6, 8.
I'm definitely
different to you.
So I put in my picks yesterday or the day before. I'm definitely changing my Chicago pick. I might even change.
Oh, come on. That was one I was like, wait, do you not realize that Chicago's got nothing to play for?
Yeah, and that was like they literally need to lose that. So there's no way they're even covering. Yeah. So getting into it.
If Houston win, which is... Yeah, that will fuck it up in some way, and they lose, then the Bears could have the number one
pick. Right? So yeah, that's why once I actually sorted that out in my brain, I'm like, wait, no, I got to change that right. now. I fucking can't because of no internet. Yeah. KC at the Raiders. I've got the Raiders +8.5. I think they will definitely show something again this week. KC just don't cover big lines, Gaz. So
yep,
I've gone with the Raiders. You've gone with KC though.
I went back and forward on this. I feel like, mate, that was a big game last week. That was an intense game. That was their fucking Super Bowl for Stidham to prove something against their fucking awesome Niners team. And KC need to prove something. That was a fucking shit. Like, they will be embarrassed that Denver got so close.
Yep.
And I feel like this could be the one that they just come out and not by a lot, but, you know, like a fucking a touchdown, 10 points or something, touchdown and a field goal.
See, flip side is I think Raiders either cover this and it's really close or it's like they win by like 25. Like it is because it's in Vegas. KC and Vegas fucking hate each other ever since they did the doughies in the car park under Gruden. Yeah. And I didn't like the Raiders pick, but I'm like, they just played so well last week that I'm like, fuck it. And the KC just not covering big spreads is a big thing this year. So Yeah. Here we go. Jacksonville, 6.5-point favorites against Tennessee at home for the playoffs. So you've gone Tennessee. I've gone Jacksonville. I just want to wear a fucking thong like Jackson DeVille and look like a jaguar standing in the end zone with my fucking schlong just in a banana hammock. It's going to be awesome. 6.5-point favorites. You've gone the Titans. Explain yourself, Gaz.
Yeah, look, I just think division matchup, I think it's just going to be a lot closer than that. I think division matchup with Deza Henry back, ground and pound, keep it close. I think they'll still lose, but I just think it'll be a lot. I think it'll be a lot more low scoring than what the Jacksonville kicked the fuck shit out of Houston last week.
Yep, Titans are fucky like that, but I just think they can be attacked through the air. And I think at home, the Jags will get them. Atlanta, Tampa Bay arresting, dude. So I've gone Atlanta minus 4.5 at home.
Sure.
You've gone Tampa Bay?
Yeah, look, I think, resting dudes, but I think they've still got enough to get over. I just
probably
rely on Tom Brady, and that defense is getting, they've been getting healthier for weeks. Tom just has only just woken up to it in the last 5 minutes of the games. But Atlanta, like Ritter's still not there. They've got some promising pieces, like Algier's been playing well, Cordarrelle Patterson been playing well. I think Tampa Bay are too good.
I think, Atlanta, like their draft position probably won't move a giant amount, even with a win. So, I think at home they'll just go, fuck it, we'll win one for the fans. Blow it out your ass, Tom Brady. New England, go to Buffalo, maybe.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
I've got massive asterisks on this one.
Yep. I took the Pats plus 6.5. That's what is being listed at the moment. I'm like, I can't, karmically, I can't put money on that though. So,
Yeah,
it's just gross, right?
And it's the same. It's also the same. I have the same vibes with the Bengals game. Like players are either going to be hesitant and distracted, or they're going to come out and play like their life. Not that's a poor choice of words. They're going to play. You know, they're just going to be the game of their life, right? Like playing for their mate. So, I just don't fucking know, but I'm going to stay away from that.
Yeah,
but all things being right and wanting the good karma story, I've picked Buffalo, but I won't be putting money on it. You're right.
Yeah, I think the 6.5 points for New England, it's just like Belichick's just like, the defense is just there.
Yep.
Buffalo, they've got other shit going on. It's either they win 40-3 or 27-24. And New England probably missed the playoffs. Just saying, please put me out of my misery. Cincy, Baltimore, as you mentioned, Cincy, both gone them 6.5-point favorites. That's more about Baltimore being shit house, I think, almost more than anything. And we just don't know what's going to happen with Cincy. So,
yeah, I touched on it before. Huntley's questionable. Lamar still hasn't been at practice. So, who the fuck? But once again, those Cincy vibes, right? Like you said about Joe Burrow not wanting to play. Well, he wants to play, but the vibe in the locker room. Anyway,
Chicago.
Next, Minnesota.
Hosting Minnesota, I'm changing mine in Minnesota as well. So we're in agreement there because it was 5.5 points. I'm like, that is far too low because Chicago are just going to go, we don't care. So Houston,
they've got something to play for. So yeah,
exactly. Minnesota actually have to play for something and Chicago do not. Houston at Indy. Houston 2.5-point underdogs on the road in Indy. You've gone Houston.
I've gone this. Just purely, well, it's partially because India are fucking terrible. Houston's not much better. But secondly, it would be the most Houston thing this year to only need to lose to secure the number one draft pick and fucking win.
And win.
So I'm taking Houston for that exact reason. They'll fuck it up.
I kind of like that. It's not bad.
Yeah.
I'm just going Indy because, LA sucks.
Sure.
But they'll win this because that's how bad he is. He's like, wait, we should lose. And they're like, fuck you, Jeff Saturday. We're winning. Miami at the Jets. Jets at Miami. We've both gone Miami. 0.5-point favorites. Jets are done. Miami going to win this, even with their third stringer. Who fucking cares, right?
Yeah. I've gone backwards and forwards on this because I like the Jets defense more, but Mike White, as you said, he's come back to earth and a third stringer, but I'm just going Miami. It's a safe bet.
Love it. Pittsburgh, hosting Cleveland. This is probably my favorite line almost of the year. 2.5 point favorites, Pittsburgh. I'm taking that in a heartbeat. I've already put money on it. Like, let's fucking go. Kenny Pickett. I mean, he might have small hands, but he's got a big hat.
Is that the first game they've been favored all year?
No, nah, they've been favored a couple of other times, but yeah, not
have they?
Probably not even by 2.5. So I love the 2.5 as well. It's like a 3-point win, definitely. And look, Cleveland will be out there to prove something because Cleveland are idiots, but Pittsburgh are actually got something to play for. Carolina at New Orleans.
And that is Mike Tomlin not finishing under 500.
Definitely.
He's not going to, as you said, he's not going to let that fucking slide.
Not going to let it happen. Carolina +3.5 against New Orleans in New Orleans. I think this is the Saints just going, yeah, we don't care.
There's that element. And there's also like they played out of their fucking skin against the Eagles and just did that what they need to. And yeah, two teams that could give less of a fuck.
Well, so, my point is Carolina will play hard for Steve Wilkes, I think, to keep him around. So I'll go Carolina. Yeah. Philly hosting the Giants, 13.5 point favorites against the Giants, and you've gone the Giants. I actually believe in your team here, Gaz, to actually kick the fuck out of him. So,
yeah, so this could be we still are missing pieces, even if Hurts comes back. But I feel like this could be the get back to the early season, put the foot down in the second quarter, and then foot off the gas. There's been so many games where they've, you know, rested players, and they could, like, I'm putting this down to a garbage time fucking touchdown against the backs, and you know,
sure,
we lose, we win by under two touchdowns, right? Yep. So I'm fingers fucking crossed because I want that fucking rest week.
I'm gonna say I think you fucking kill them. Rams, Seattle. We're both on the Rams +6.5, even though Seattle need to win this. I think this is just because it's a Sean McVay fuck you to Pete Carroll, right? This is my vibe of like the Rams, like. Fuck you, Seattle. We don't know you shit. And we're going to ruin your fucking playoff chances. Eat a dick. Like, we've got nothing to play for. Yeah, like, the Rams have nothing to play for except for fuck you, which is rad. I love that.
Yeah. But even if they do it, like, feel 6.5. Yes, they, I don't know. Six. I think even if they win, they, Seattle, they're not going to cover the line, right?
Yep. Chargers, Denver. We're both going the Chargers because Denver are a shit house and Chargers are still good and can actually keep moving up, I think, in the seedings. I think they can end up the 5. Where are they right now? Yeah, because of the Baltimore situation. So they can actually sort of make sure they solidify the 5 with a win. So off they go. Arizona Niners. We've both got the Niners 13.5 because, I mean, the Niners actually
fucking terrible.
The Niners need to win, right, to keep their chances in terms of seeding.
Number one.
They could actually have a crack at the one seed if the Eagles drop. So what have they won? They've won like 8 straight? The Niners?
I thought last week was 9. I thought
9? That was 9. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So yeah, pretty good.
As we said, with Debo, with all those weapons plus Debo back, I mean, Arizona are fucking terrible. Is this Cliff Kingsbury's last game?
Definitely. Done. You reckon? Back her up.
Yeah.
Washington, Dallas. We're working on Dallas -5.5 because they also need to keep winning. So, don't they?
Washington's got nothing.
Washington got nothing.
Rivera's got nothing left. They're starting a fucking rookie and Dallas have got to win. So, they'll come out and
kill him.
The absolute. Yep.
And then the last one's Detroit, Green Bay. You've gone Detroit +4.5. I've gone Green Bay -4.5. I hated the line. I fucking hated this line. I'm like, this is a 28-24 game written all over it. I fucking hate the 4.5, but fuck it. I hope it's 28-21. So go Green Bay. Let's win me some money, I guess.
I'm hoping that, so last week it was the defense and the running game that got Green Bay started on that. Detroit's defense has been stepping up in the last weeks, and I hope that they cannot handle, the Green Bay defense cannot handle Detroit's offense. And I hope they fucking surprise them and kick the shit out of them and make it through the playoffs.
See what happens.
What a fucking story.
It is, like, I hate it because I've loved Detroit all season. You know that.
Yeah.
Been all about it. Absolutely all about it. What a turnaround. What an amazing story. But I also have two very fun future bets that involve me winning a lot more money.
It's financially productive.
So I would much prefer Green Bay to win because I like money. I like money. Right. So there you go. That leaves us after last week, 130 correct picks for me for the season. Gaz at 115. I think that and with us, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different this week. So,
yeah.
It's a big difference for how many beers you could owe me versus how many beers you could still owe me. So,
yeah. Thanks, man.
You should have gone against every pick I had this week to maybe just hope that I got. Just saying.
Because then I'd owe you a fucking slab.
Yeah. Just saying. All right, there you go. That's it for week 17 of NFL Australia. Weird week, fucky week, shitty week. What are you going to do?
Draining week.
It's been wild. But, so, you know. Weird late one, obviously. We've only had to do this once before, and that was all scheduling shit. This was more us trying to figure out what to do, how to do it, and then sort of going, right, like we can sort of do this the way we'd usually sort of do it with an eye on Damar Hamlin and just getting to talk it out. Because I think, to be honest, I just needed to talk it out properly myself. And
talking about it to the missus who doesn't really have a fucking clue what's going on didn't really help.
Yeah, I feel you.
So yeah, anyway,
we are weekly. We'll be weekly all the way through the playoffs. Don't forget about that. They start after next week, presumably. We don't know what's going on with the NFL, so hopefully, Damar Hamlin's all good. Obviously, that's a big thing we're sort of thinking about. Yeah, simple as that. Check us a follow on all your shit. Rate and review it, whatever. If you dig this, we do it all each week. And we'll have a Super Bowl party coming up as well. Likely at the Catfish again, Gaz. Cannot wait.
Yeah.
I just need to lock that all away, figure it all out. As usual, we're very prepared and organized.
Yeah, always. Always.
All right, big thanks go to House Hats for the intro and outro song. They rule. And obviously get around NBA Australia and CodeBet, which I'm in charge of. That's a good website. All your odds comparisons, and you'll see all my picks each week for the NFL written out in a couple of columns here and there. Good times.
Yeah.
Gaz, you got anything to plug?
As always, Spruken, Eagle Australia. It's been a couple of down weeks. It's like sad sack Gaz, so feel free to go and watch that if you're not stoked with life all the fucking time. But fingers crossed there'll be some extra playoff content coming up soon.
Dig it. All right. Thanks all for your forbearance, everybody, this week. It's been a bit of a fucking weird one. So, prayers up also for Gaz's wife's Nan.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's been a tough week in a bunch of different ways. It's a bit shit, so.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. All right. Yep. Well, we'll catch you next week, you dickheads. Love your guts. Look after yourselves, would you? That's all we ever ask. And, what do you reckon, guys?
All right. See yous.
Later.